What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What is predestination? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samiatz, a pastor here in England, serving congregations in Brandon, Suffolk, Harlow in Essex, and Coventry in the Midlands. Thanks for listening. You can find more details about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England online at lutheran.co.uk. I hope you enjoy the program. Today's straight answer comes from a straight question, asked to me in the context of, cut to the chase, tell me with no detours, to which I replied, well, what do you mean by the word predestination? And the conversation began. Here is my answer, but without the conversation. What is predestination? What is your answer? Go on, take a few seconds to come up with an answer, or what you associate with the word. I heard that predestination is about God determining where we end up for eternity. The logic is straightforward. God is God, all-powerful, and he does what he wants. So if he wants someone with him in heaven, then he can make that happen, and if he doesn't, then he can make that happen. So it is all up to God. Things in us are predestined to happen as God says. This idea can produce interesting responses. It can make people blasé about spiritual things, and even about life. It is fatalistic. What will be, will be. And so people can feel free to do their own thing, because what does it matter if everything is up to God? Or people can become obsessed with wanting to know their future, and they are in turmoil. If a good thing happens to me, is that a sign God's chosen me? If a bad thing happens, is that a sign God hasn't? Sometimes people can focus on doing the right thing, according to God, to help them believe they are chosen by God. And sometimes there is a crash, a crisis. Maybe one sins in God's eyes. Maybe it is a big sin, as we describe some behaviours. And people go into despair about their eternal future. All in all these ideas about predestination can produce stress and anxiety. It is what comes when we think about this logically. Lutherans would call this double predestination. God chooses some to be saved and some not to be saved. And we agree that if this is true, then life is not secure spiritually, and people then look for security in all the wrong places. On this occasion, our logic needs to listen carefully to what God does say in the Bible and what he doesn't say. When we talk about predestination, we have to be careful that we don't put words into God's mouth. Consequently, Lutherans generally, I think, prefer not to use the term predestination, but we can't ignore it. When talking about this topic, Lutherans possibly prefer to use the terms the elect or election. But these words still run into the same landscape, and people can quickly think that if God has elected some, that must mean he hasn't elected others, and we're back to turmoil again. The Greek word in the New Testament is only used on a few occasions, 6 times, and it comes from 2 words, one meaning before, and the other word meaning setting a limit, as in a boundary. This word can also have a figurative meaning of appointing or fixing. Hence, we have a word that means appointing or fixing beforehand, or as the dictionaries say, foreordain, or predestinate. So in Acts chapter 4, when the disciples were in trouble with the authorities for preaching and teaching about Jesus and doing miracles in Jesus' name, they prayed for boldness in the face of all opposition, and saw the opposition and threats they were facing as following the path set by Jesus, who was also opposed by the authorities, and they described this opposition of the world, of Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and the Jews and the execution of Jesus, as something God had planned and predestined to take place. Sin will always oppose God. That is its choice and nature, just as God's rescue in Christ and the disciples' ministry about Jesus reveal God's choice and nature. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is talking about the struggle of discipleship, the tension of discipleship with our daily wrestle with sin in the context of forgiveness in Christ. And this struggle is part of the world's existence. Even creation itself groans in suffering. And then Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 30. Speaking to Christians, Paul is telling them that the Holy Spirit is present and helps us pray and live in our discipleship, that God works all things, which includes stuff that are bad and nasty and horrible in themselves, for good, for his people. And Paul is telling the readers or hearers of his letter that they, with all their struggles and tough times, have been chosen by God to be conformed to Jesus, to be justified, and to be glorified. Paul has to say this because the followers of Jesus just don't see it. We live by faith and not by sight. In the letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul sets the scene in the opening part of his letter telling of God's plan. Read Ephesians chapter 1, and part of it, verses 5 and 11, say this. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Verse 11. In him, that is Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Paul is again addressing his readers, disciples of Jesus, living by faith, struggling in their discipleship, don't all Christians, and comforting them with the message that God has chosen them for adoption, that it is God's purpose that they be saved and live with him, and that God has given us something we can't earn. It only comes as a gift, an inheritance, because that is his will, his plan for people, that we be saved. The sixth occasion of the word predestined talks about that it is God's plan and decree that his secret and hidden wisdom, this is the wisdom of the cross, happen and be made known so that we, all people, can live in God's glory. This wasn't an afterthought to rescue some people, but God's plan for all people. So Paul wrote, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So what do we get from these verses? We get the message that when it comes to planning, preparing, predestinating, foreordaining, it is God's plan and purpose that you be saved. You, listening to me now, be saved. That all people be saved. The message of predestination biblically is supposed to always be a message of comfort that comes to people to draw them to Jesus as Savior or help them return to Jesus when struggles, sins, the world get the better of them. The message of predestination in the Bible calls us to God's heart, which isn't secretly flipping a coin to see who's in and who's out, but is filled with grace and mercy for you, that he has rescued you in the person of Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection. The Bible only speaks of predestination and election to salvation. Thus, it is a message of comfort. It is not a teaching ever meant to destabilize anyone in their faith. Our brains struggle with the reality this message creates or confirms, that if we are saved, then it is by God's grace. And if we are lost, rebel against God to our dying breath, then it is our own fault. It makes sense to us that when we're talking about salvation and heaven and the like, either God chooses or we choose. That makes sense to us. It is logical. But it offers no comfort, and it doesn't square with what the Bible says. Predestination is one of the biggies in such a discussion. But if we look clearly at what the Bible says in these verses and overall, we will find a mystery. That God loves sinners and wants them to live with Him now and always. Sinners can reject God and push Him away. And God is still God with all His attributes. This mystery finds its laser-light focus in the story of sin and grace, the story of Jesus and especially His cross, and in the story of our baptism, where God says personally to each person baptized, "I want all people to live, and today I want you to know that that means you." If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.